had a scripture come to mind when Kathy, or when you shared the scripture about, you know, no one comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him.
Yeah.
And the scripture that came to me was, even as Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me.
Yeah.
So God has to draw them, but he draws everybody.
Yeah.
If their hearts are open, like you said. And then there's that scripture. About,
exactly. You see, yes. He draws everybody, but he cannot draw anybody that the heart is closed.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's really, that's a good scripture to, give understanding to that. And this is a way it should be done all the time. Okay. We should see scripture that are expanding or aligned up with those to expand the meaning and to make us understand.
Yeah. And the other one that came to mind was, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Mm-hmm. So he convicts the whole world.
That's right.
Again, if their heart is open, he convicts. So
that's right.
You'll be convicted of sin if your heart is open, because he convicts the whole world. But,
that's right. That's right. I'm sure there are many others too, because this is a standard idea all over the place in the Bible that when your heart is open, then you are going to be able to hear. Otherwise, was ear to ear, you don't hear because you are calloused, because your heart is calloused, and good. But people that take those scriptures in isolation, they end up coming with the Calvinistic idea that is wrong. Okay, that's right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, now I wish that I recorded it. Anyway, all right, let's keep going on these things, the topic. Let me pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to help us, Lord, to receive from your word. Lord, that each person may be, Lord, in contact with you, Lord, with a heart prepared and open to receive, to hear, to understand, and to appropriate everything that you have done for us. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, and give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, for what you're going to do and the way, Lord, that you're going to, Lord, bring about changes in our life, our mind, and in our heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I'm going to kind of continue on the things that we started last week. Okay. I started to talk about change. Okay. The change and the resistance that we have to change. And I start to explain how we resist to change, because any change is like, dying to one's own identity, because the actual true changes involve the change in identity, change in our heart. In our heart, it's resistant to change. It's made up that way with a purpose to protect us so that we don't open up all the ideas. But they come to us. We are tossed by every wind of doctrine, they say, the way it says in Ephesians chapter 4. But the idea is the fact that, any growth, any spiritual growth, any change and development involves, any spiritual growth involves change in the heart. Okay. And so anything that has to do with receiving from God, involves also a change in the heart. And I said at the beginning of the year that this was going to be a year of change and breakthroughs. Breakthroughs involve change of thoughts that brings about change in the heart, that brings about changes in behavior, and bring about changes in results. It's a kind of a progression. You start with being exposed to something, be able to see it, getting the revelation, okay, so that our heart is getting changed. There has to be, at that moment, a desire for change. Otherwise, we don't get anything. Okay. So this is why, people that are satisfied with their situation, you can witness to them. They are not going to really listen. But when they are in a crisis situation, quite likely they are going to open up if there is any there of a desire for a real change and openness. Then, you know, many people come to the Lord when they go through a crisis or another. So, but everything works in the heart. That's where the critical point. The heart, said, is like a gate, letting things in and out, and the gate has to be open. You know, when in Revelation chapter 3 says, you know, Jesus coming and knocking at the door, you know, the heart, that is where God wants to come in. And then, you know, if you let him in, see, it's a question of letting him in that is going to allow him to come in and then be with you and dwell with you and, you know, do things. So the idea is that really we, our position, our desires, our things, okay, is critical. Just being exposed to the word, just being exposed to reading the Bible is not going to do it. You can be, as I said often, you know, a PhD in theology and not be saved. Okay. Just the fact that, you know, you can just know the information is not information that makes a difference, because Christianity is not a information thing. It's a heart thing. It comes from the heart, and the problem is that we have problem realizing and operating at the heart, and we have problem in changing our heart. This is why sometimes people find difficult in getting God's promises. But actually, the heart always get what has inside. Some people say, oh, we cannot walk, you know, walk by the heart. No, actually, we always walk by the heart. Because really, the way we make decisions is based on the position of our heart. Now, when the heart is not aligned with God, then we get negative position, negative result. When our heart is aligned with God, then we get positive results, and we get actually, you know, we can see the prayer answered and our his promises received. Really, you know, the law indicates the things to do and not to do. And when we do the things of God, that God wants, we get blessed. When we don't do the things of God, we get problems. We get that's, you know, Deuteronomy 28, 29, there are all those. They're the blessing and the curse. And that's really, so knowing just the mind knowledge of the blessing, you know, the law and the requirement is not enough for us to do it. We have to really, our heart has to be aligned with this thinking. And if you want to see a place, for example, in which that's demonstrated in the Old Testament, is in Psalm 78. The old Psalm describes, you know, this kind of thing. But I'm going to read some verses from there. Okay, there is nothing changed between the New and Old Testament. Only that we in the New Testament, we are in a period of grace, number one. And second, in the New Testament, we have much more information than understanding that they had, because Jesus came and explained things. But they were received by grace before Jesus came, you know, in advance of the things that Jesus would bring about. And we receive by grace in, you know, after Jesus did everything that needed to be done for things that are done already, but we had to participate and believe with the heart. Again, is the heart the key for us? The heart is like a treasure chest, okay? When we open it up, we can find all the blessings inside. But generally, people keep it closed, and they cannot get the blessing because they cannot understand how to open it up. And we have to open it up to God so that God can work through it. Okay? So, let me read here. 78 verse 36 says, "Nevertheless, they flattered him," God, "with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongues." Okay? So, for what we say is not always the truth. We have to understand that, you know. I mean, all this confession business is really deceiving, because they overemphasize the confession part that has to do with speaking something with your mouth. And what we have to understand, as I said, preached that last Sunday, but we have to understand is what really counts is what is in our heart. And when our mouth speaks what is in our heart, then it's going to be very effective. Otherwise, it's not. And actually, it can be deceiving. And we can deceive ourselves and we can deceive others, but we cannot deceive God. Okay, let me continue. See, the reason why they flatter him with their mouth and lied him to him with their tongue is because for their heart, verse 37, was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. You see, there are two aspects there. Heart is not steadfast in him. There was an open, we're connected with God in their heart. And there is an immediate consequence. This is a cause and effect relationship between the heart and our behavior. So because their heart was not steadfast in him, they were not faithful to his covenant. They weren't doing what they said they would do to him. Okay. But let's continue. "For he remembered that they were but flesh and breath," you know. So, oh, sorry. I forgot the piece of the verse there. "Yes, many times he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath." So he's saying, you know, God constrained himself from actually doing things. So even in the Old Testament, there was, God constraining himself to actually act on what they were doing wrong. Okay? He's full of compassion about the verse Psalm 103 says. Okay, so, "For he remembers," so God remembered, "that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and that does not come again." So he's really, giving a metaphor here, okay, which he says that the flesh, okay, is like a breath that passes away and is gone. And God knows that very well. God knows everything. Because the flesh, okay, is nothing else than the training that we develop according to the senses we have. So the physical things, and that we, when we are caught up with the physical dimension, we forget even the existence of the spiritual dimension, and we are operating at the physical level. Okay, so that produces unbelief to the things that God says that we do not see physically. Okay, unbelief is nothing else than believing what, things that are contrary to what God says. Okay, so, according to what Jesus did, they all to their self-life, didn't surrender to God. That's the bottom line. Okay, so continuing there, and they tested God in their heart. You see, that's always the situation. That's always the problem. Okay, in their heart, they tested God, or, they tested, something. I don't think for us is the best way to look at the word to use, is they judged God in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God and said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" So you see, they were questioning and they were doubting the fact that God is going to do it. So behold, God, he struck the rock so that the water gushed out and the stream overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for the people? So you see, they were experiencing all this supernatural event taking place. the clouds by day, the pillar of fire by night, miracles passing over everything that was taking place, the plagues of Egypt, that wasn't enough. Thing is, you know, you can see all spiritual events taking place and your heart can be closed anyway. When your heart is open, you may be able to get something from it. But, you know, spiritual things are not necessarily going to change the way you think.
Sorry, Maurizio, I muted you by mistake. No, I can't. Maurizio, I can't unmute you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did it.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. It's okay, no problem. Okay, so let me go back here because I have to change thing. Okay. So can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, in anger also came upon against Israel. Because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. So this is, you know, express Old Testament ways, but really, you know, their position, their disobedience, their rebellion, their things is because of their the position of their heart. Okay, that was all coming from the because of their unbelief. Okay, the legalist. Okay, the people that believe in following the law, and this is so easy to fall into. Okay. Point out the fact that, you know, if you disobey God, God doesn't bless you. God doesn't fulfill his promises for you. In reality, that's not the problem. That brings to legalism and religion. That brings you back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament didn't work because they were based themselves on the law. Okay. The promises, you receive them like everything else by faith. And that is means that you believe with the heart what God said. And after the result is that you act on it, both in terms of, being congruent with what you believe. So God's word is clear, okay, that disobedience is the result of the heart of unbelief. And unbelief is nothing else than not believing in God's promises or what the law says. Okay, so disobedience is, there's nothing else than the manifestation of unbelief. That's, you know, we saw that already a few weeks ago, in Hebrew chapter 3, verse 12. It says, before, you know, when you hear God's voice, listen and respond. Okay, it says, beware, brethren, lest in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. See, when that is when you hear the word. So when you see when you know what God wants, you know the word, you know, then you don't do what he says. But you are going to do that naturally when you don't believe what he says. If you don't believe that, you know, you're going to be receiving curses if you don't obey God, you're going not to obey God because you don't believe. You don't have the fear of God. See, fear of God is really believing what God says. Okay. That shows us one thing important. That just by hearing what Jesus did is not enough to save people. When they hear what Jesus did and their heart is open and they listen, you know, and the Holy Spirit is working on them because their heart is open. And if their heart is open, the Holy Spirit is talking to them. Then they're going to respond and they're going to hear. The thing is, you know, most people don't know even how to open their heart. Okay. So, and this is a step that they had to take, a step that has to take place within themselves. Okay. So, you know, this is what Jesus is saying about dying to self. I think we were talking about last week. Okay. We had to decide if we don't decide to change, you know, we have to decide if we are satisfied with the status quo or we want to change. And if we are willing to change and we don't want to keep, you know, for one reason or another, fear or that's the comfort zone that we know, the other one we don't, whatever, you know, if we don't trust what the Word of God says, then automatically we are not going to be able to deny what we want now, we have been wanting up to now, what the heart is, the way it is, and we accept what the way we are. We are not going to change. We're not going to be anything. This is what Jesus said. When he says, deny yourself, take up is, you know, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Okay. Now it's interesting because at that time when he said that, Jesus had not been crucified yet. Okay. And so he was talking in the future for people to understand. Again, you know, when he was teaching stuff, it wasn't the easiest thing to understand what he was talking about without the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay. But the idea is that, you know, he was explaining the concept that we should be able to understand very clearly. So for whoever desire to save his life, because it's a question of what we want. Okay, our want comes up from what we think is the best thing for ourselves, in the position of our heart. Okay, whoever decides to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, you know, and the gospel, will save it. So because they believe in him and the gospel, the good news. Okay, and life again is not just you know, life for the day, it just has to do with everything, you know, we had to lose, you know, our thinking, our heart, our mind, our feeling, our will, and our emotions, especially our heart, the way it is now. And that is a process, okay? It starts with our thinking. And after us to touch all the other areas until it reaches down deep inside our heart and we are willing to make a change. See, again, the heart is like a door opening or closing. You can almost call it, it's like a filter. It just filters up what he wants accept and he reject the things that doesn't accept. Okay. Now, that process of changing the heart is really what's called the renewal of the mind. Because it starts with the mind. It starts with the exposure to idea. You start with the, but it's not just, you know, the question of being exposed to the idea, is really to deal with the idea for all the other aspects of our soul. You know, our emotions, our will, or all the other things, they have to be, you know, lined up with what the word says. Okay. And it says, you know, what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or, you know, again, it's life. It's the same word used for both of those things. Okay. So, have to start with us, okay, wanting God, okay, before we can experience him. And we had to want it more than the other things that keep us from him. That's the bottom line. The thing is, you know, we are used to think in worldly way, philosophically, according to our logic, according to men's thinking, okay? And whatever principle or ideas or thought the Word of God says that is contrary to those things, we are really difficulty in accepting it and adjusting ourselves to it, okay? So, we must just start examining our beliefs and in terms of the results we get. But generally, that's not done because we tend to justify our thinking. That's been our experience. Our experience is carnal. Okay. So what happens is we start adjusting things, okay, with adjusting our doctrine to justify our results and create doctrines that are based on what's called circumstantial theology. Okay, based on our circumstances, we adjust what the Word of God says, the meaning of what the Word of God says, according to the circumstances, according to our own reason. And that's not what God says. So we distort the Word, we distort our theology, the truth that the Word says, because to make it fit our experience, instead of making our experience fit to the Word of God. And this is really the wrong thing that we do. And what that produces is produces failure. Produces that we don't change, we don't get what the promises of God says that we should be getting. And we end up finding excuses why we don't get them, that are not truth. And we keep staying in that place because we found a justification that is not valid. Okay. Now, there is a proverb that says something that is really revealed to us, the implication of that kind of behavior. But that is the behavior that is very common. And there's lots of circumstantial theology around based on failure instead of, so for example, an example of that, okay, well, not everybody got healed. So, for example, the scripture that says, by Jesus' stripes we were healed. Well, God doesn't want to heal everybody. Well, that's completely untrue because Jesus healed everybody. It's just that people often don't get it because they cannot adjust their heart to be able to receive, and they have theories, stuff that is really not true, and they follow those things instead of the other, and they sometimes accept their failure or whatever. So that's not the way to get the promise of God. When it's God said very clearly in 2 Corinthians 1:20 and 21, and 22, that all the promises of God are yes in him, and that is why, through him, we can utter amen for God's glory. Okay. It is God who has established us with you in Christ. See, is the old things, the old position has to be established in Christ. You have to be in Christ, and this is the only requirement. The being Christ means that we are believing, the word, believing, and our heart is open to what it says. That's all it says. It doesn't say that we have to do any special thing. It doesn't say we have to do special fasting. That, the only reason to do that is to be able to get the revelation to hear the things that we have to change in our thinking. That's what has to happen. Okay? So, really, the presence of the Holy Spirit in us and the fact that he minister, that he reveals to us things, okay, is the evidence that we, are in contact with him. The fact that he can correct us, direct us, and so on is the evidence that, the scripture are true, and is we're going to get the result, okay? Lots of people question, well, I don't have enough faith. Okay, they are born again, but they go around saying, I don't have enough faith. Okay, that's another circumstantial theology things, because we have all the faith we need. When we are born again, we have the faith to be born again, and we have the faith to receive any of the promises of God. But we have to line up our thinking with God's word so that we correct the wrong thinking, the wrong ideas. If you think that God doesn't want to heal you, that's what your belief is. If you think that God doesn't heal everybody, that can won't heal anybody, doesn't want to heal everybody, well, you are going to be one of those nobody, the bodies that don't receive it. Because you don't have faith there to receive it anymore. Okay? So, evidently, in Romans 12, 3 says very clearly, for I say that through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So we have the measure of faith that we need to do everything. Okay. We have our faith is sufficient to operate, okay, in anybody, and our heart actually operate that way in any way. So if our heart has faith in the word of God, then we're going to get it. If our heart has faith in our own thinking, then we are not going to get it automatically. Actually, we were made, you know, to operate like God, you know, through our heart. God is a God of heart, and so that's the way you operate, okay? So we all have it, okay? And so, you know, we had to learn to line up our heart with God's heart, with the word of God. It's represented there. And not create our own theology, our own ideas. Okay? This is the way we overcome our worldly tendencies in ourselves. Okay? We break through the things that we need to break through by standing on the promises, by believing God with our heart, believing what God says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says very clearly, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we got, he's talking present time, has given, actually past time. We already have everything that we need, okay, for life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. So through the revelation that is given to us, the way Jesus operated and everything else, we should have that. By which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. So that's the basis on which we grow. That's the basis on which we, the, you know, our heart changes, if it's open to them. That through this, we may be partaker of the divine nature. Power, supernatural power of God working to us, the dunamis. Okay. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you see, if we are needy, it's because and lusting after things, you know, God is not going to enable us to receive the things from God. Okay. We have sufficient faith to operate from the heart, if we open our heart and receive the word of God and plant it there, so that, you know, by the renewal of the mind, we get to the place in which we can, you know, see the manifestation. But, you know, we have a part we play, okay? And, you know, through the promises, through the word of God saying to us what we can expect, then we can overcome the corruption, the wrong ideas, the wrong thing, the problems that are in the world. Okay. The problem is, okay, that when we fail to receive, you know, the promises of God, okay, we start doubting. And, you know, we keep saying, well, it doesn't work anymore. So we become vulnerable to erratic ideas, wrong ideas, okay? And really, you know, many people in Christianity today, you know, reject the idea of the finished work of Jesus. What he has done is finished. There is nothing else to do. He doesn't need to do anything else. That's what the word says over and over again. Okay. And we fear, reject that idea. We cannot experience God today, because that's the basis on which we experience it. Okay. So we have to believe that the cross, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, okay, in our heart, okay, and not just agree the fact, you know, that he did it there, but doesn't, it's just information. Information doesn't save anybody. Is doctrine doesn't save anybody. It has to be affecting our heart. And the fact that he finished, he said he's finished, you know, we had to believe that he's finished and everything that he needed to be done is done. Okay. So, information doesn't matter. More information sometimes that we have, and we have more problems. You can see sometimes that baby Christian get more than mature Christian, because a mature Christian had developed a mental approach to Christianity and a philosophical approach to Christianity instead of a heart approach. And so somebody doesn't know too much with his mind and it's open to their heart, they end up receiving, because there is no any, they don't know all the reason why they shouldn't be receiving. So they end up having faith to receive. Simple as that. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, you know, now concerning the sin offered by to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. But knowledge puffs up, but love edifies or builds up ourselves. Okay. So that is important to think. You know, really, is the love of God that determines our ability, loving God, trusting God. You see, love is the heart. Knowledge is of the mind. Okay. So this is really that information independent of the heart, okay, it doesn't produce any result. Okay. And we have to, okay, not the doctrine or theology has the power to change your life just because you know the information. You must believe it with your heart. And then something happened. Okay. So we have to learn to distinguish between the voice of the mind and the voice of the heart. One is just agreeing, oh, I agree with that theology, but, you know, when it comes to apply it, you don't believe it. And so you don't get the result. So, and you get this transformation. How you get this transformation of the change of the heart is really to the renewing of the mind. It's there where you come in contact with God. But really, even in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, doesn't really quite fully expand enough by itself on how to do it. So that makes it difficult. You know, it says, although it's there. Okay. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. So you see, the fact that you present your body, I mean, you had to give yourself completely. You cannot hold yourself. You know, you had to offer yourself, your body to God. Your identity. See, this is dying to self and allowing him to do the changes in us. Okay. You had to become a sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, which is a completely logical act of worship. Service or act of worship is the same thing. The word was to be the same. And would be conformed to the world. I mean, take the same shape that the world put you in, but be transformed in the renewing of the mind. Okay, so it starts, and when the mind there is referring to is not just the mind, the intellect. There is the nous, that actually means intellect, thought, understanding, judgment, emotion, the will, and the heart. All these things had to be transformed. Anything has to be lining up with the Word of God. So it's a process that touches progressively all the aspects of your soul. Okay. And so the art, though, is the end of the story, is the end of it. And this is the critical part. If that is not involved, nothing happens. Okay. Understanding the heart then becomes one of the most important and significant revelation that you can get today. And not many people actually have an understanding of the heart. Okay. Today's message about Jesus and Jesus himself and the early church has completely lost. You know, they really, you know, have been indoctrinated in the philosophical part, agreeing with their logic, but really, you know, they have confused the difference between the mind and the heart. And that is enough to keep you from receiving the promises. Okay. So there have been lots of changes taking place. Instead of, the power of God is being changed by controlling people. And the miraculous power of God, for example, the miraculous event is being, changed into mysticism, which is actually, doing some physical things to get some special result. Okay. Faithing in the heart is being changed with positive thinking. It's not positive thinking that has power. It's faith in the heart. Okay. It's not just positive. Okay. It's just what is going in the heart can be positive or negative, and depending on the way you evaluate the results.
Maurizio, can you clarify something for me?
Go ahead.
I think what you're saying is that what the church has done, it's like faith in the heart is still faith in the heart. Like the heart is still okay. That part is and that works, but
not the surrogate. Not the surrogate. Like instead of faith in the heart, you have agreement with the mental agreement, you have a mysticism, you have other things. It just doesn't work. This is just the substitution of the true with the fake.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. The real.
And this is what is the characteristics of today's church.
Got it.
That's the training that people have, even in seminaries. Because it's in spiritual. It's not a spiritual so much things. It's very much more based on philosophical and approach to things.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
So. The bottom line is, in the last little while, there's been a lot of revelation, restoration of revelation on truth. The thing is that they've been, applied as information rather than knowing what to do with that. And so they have not been the result that should have been expected. Okay. So we had to see, how we can do this shift from being controlled from our mind to that of being controlled with our heart. The problem is that what often is not understood is that people cannot walk but by the heart. Well, I'm sorry, people always walk by the heart because that's what motivates us. That's what makes them act. The thing is, the heart is in the wrong place. Is not along with God, he's going to do the wrong thing. And so he's going to, walking with the heart is not a good thing in that case. Even people in New Age, they talk about walking, the heart and the heart and the heart. Well, the heart is messed up. And so they are messed up themselves.
Okay. Pastor?
Yep.
It's just quickly what you're touching on and hearing like some different elements of all these things, what is in it, trying to grasp onto what is Christ, what is God. Mm-hmm. In a certain way, like however God is showing me, like it's a, however our innermost being is, it needs, like in the sanctifying, trusting God and the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit to lead us, it does take a state where you're in the childlikeness, but going by the word and have the proper guidance, going into your imaginative state.
Yeah,
you like can, it's not yeah. really your imagination, but even picturing Christ or the light coming, like entrusting God to be like, you're where just, it becomes more real to you than
he's just trusting God, entrusting yeah, his right. word to bring to you the revelation of it without you making things up.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. So the problem is, you know, that often there've been because of circumstantial theology, because of trying to get result when the wrong way by in the flesh or with wrong doctrine, you know, there is lots of failure, and then people get discouraged, get frustrated, get desperate, vulnerable to any heresy that comes around. Everybody's tossed by many things that are really wrong. Okay, you can see many things that are not right. Okay, so the truth is what set us free, not any idea or anything that we get in our mind. Okay, we have to have God's perspective. Now, there is a proverb that I want to, that is very important to understand and explain something that is Proverb 23, verse 7. I mentioned this before, but this is such an important one. This is the one from which the, you know, the idea that the heart is a gate comes from. Okay. So for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay. So the word heart there is, you know, in Hebrew, it can be as a meaning of also the, a gate. So, you know, so as he thinks in his gate, or as he thinks in his filter, if you want, yeah, I think about, I think another way of seeing, because filter stuff, so is he. So the heart is really the way you are. And so that means that it's going to determine the result you get. Then goes on, eat and drink, he says, to you, but his heart is not with you. So that shows what I was teaching last Sunday. Okay, that what we say is not all, it all can be a lie, because they want to lie to you. So, and in that case, okay, the results are not going to be the one of the heart that that you expect. When you say something that is contrary to your heart, or that you don't believe, you're not going to get results. This is a way of God that he operates. And there is a purpose for that. Okay. It's not magic what you say. The power is in the heart. When your mouth says what the heart believes, and when I'm talking about mouth, I'm not necessarily talking about mouth. You know, when you say within yourself what your heart believes, that there is power to get results supernaturally. But when you say something, my Jesus Christ, I'm healed, but you don't believe it in your heart, nothing happens. Now I say, well, you know, saying it may help you to make faith there. I don't think so. Each time that you say a scripture that you don't believe in your heart says, yes, but it's not working for me. And after you said it a million times, you don't see the result that confirms what you're saying to yourself, it doesn't work for me. So the whole thing has to be approached differently. It's not just a question of like a parrot repeating it. It's a question of opening up and hearing the Holy Spirit about it and getting direction, getting understanding, getting hearing God's voice, speaking to you concerning the situation. Okay? See, we always act according to our heart. Now, when we want to deceive somebody, okay, we are going to camouflage what we say or what we do to deceive the person. But in that case, what is in our heart is deception. What you're really saying is, I'm going to deceive this person. Okay. The problem is always that our heart either is wicked, is wrong, or will, you know, and that bring about your behavior and your results. See, you don't change your behavior by saying, okay, I want to do this because the law says I have to do this. No, you have to change your heart first, repent about the reason why you did that, and then you're going to be automatically, without any effort, behave that way. Okay. Your life is completely determined by your heart. So if you want to get breakthroughs, implication on that, as I said, this is the year of breakthroughs, what has to happen, there has to be change in your heart concerning those things that you're going to break through. If you keep thinking the way you think today, you're going to be the same tomorrow until you change. This is the most important secret that is not a secret. It's all over the Bible, but that's what has to happen. You know, you believe in your heart, and then the change is going to happen. Okay? And it's not effort. Otherwise, it's behavior modification. I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to obey the law. Well, it didn't work in the Old Testament. It's not going to work in the New Testament. That's why Jesus had to come. Because when you are born again, your heart should be changed. Your mind is not completely changed, but your heart is changed. You decide to love God. You will trust God for in one thing. So the, you know, that has to grow in the other area that you don't understand yet. Okay. When you speak words not aligning with your heart, you are essentially lying. When you speak words from your heart, they produce what you say, what you believe. Both positive and negative. If you say, I can never do anything good, guess what? You believe that because you say that. You don't like it, but often, you know, we are more true in the things that are negative than the things that are positive. You're not going to be able to do much. If, you believe that instead, and you believe it with your heart, that, God is in you and is going to empower you to break through in a certain area, then you start receiving revelation about how to get that breakthrough. So instead of saying around, I have the breakthrough, you have to, start preparing yourself to get the voice of God concerning that situation, and then you got it. And that's, for example, is reflected. See, the thing is, we have been that way by God. When Jesus in Mark 11, 22 and 23 and 24 says exactly that. Okay. When he cursed the fig tree. Okay. Says there, Jesus said unto them, okay, have faith in God. Actually, that's the way it's translated. But really, the Greek doesn't say have faith in God. If you take a literal translation, like the Young literal translation, what you're going to say is have the faith of God. That's how God operates. Okay. For surely I say to you, if you say to you, whatever say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, well, things however, when you ask him, when you pray, you know, believe you receive it, and you shall have. So that's the basis for the scripture. The fact that we believe in our heart, and when we speak what we believe, we are going to get it. But if we speak to anything, expecting that happens when we don't believe it, it's not going to happen. But we have to really believe. And that means, you know, not just believe it in that moment, we have to believe from the moment we said it. That's why, you know, people, for example, very often don't get the healing that they should be getting because the healing may take a bit of time. And by the time that, you know, after 10 minutes, they don't see the result, you say, well, I didn't get it. Well, then if you say, I didn't get it, it's because you didn't have faith. Because if you have faith, it says, well, it's happening and I'm going to see it. And you hold on to that until there is evidence. Because Jesus at times healed people, but says, you know, go and, you know, see the priests and tell them that you are healed. And as they went, they were healed. And, you know, says, you know, go and wash your face, you know, and so all the things that he said, you know, he is just was telling them so that they had to hold their faith, they had to act on what they believed, and they would get the result. Do you understand? The fact is, God is a heart God, works from the heart himself, and he relates to our hearts. This is important to understand and to receive anything from God. That's the way Jesus works. Okay. What we see in our heart, what we believe in our heart, is going to produce fruit. If we see ourselves as failures, we are going to produce faith. Just a simple cause and effect. So what we have to look at very carefully is what, what we really believe. There is a big difference between what we really believe and what we want to believe.
Can I ask a question, Pastor? What we believe in, like, for example, I believe in God. Well, God's perfect. God is good. I mean, he loves what he creates. Is that a good basis to say that I believe in God? But it's a starting point, but I don't know how else.
You see, what we're talking is about manifesting God's promises
here. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you believe in God, but God is up there and he's doing whatever he's doing. You know, is he doing the things that he promised to you? That's the point. Do you trust God's promises?
Yeah.
To what degree you trust God's promises? Okay. If you really believe God's promises, then they're going to be manifested, you know, in you. That's the way it works. That's the way, you know, the scripture I had before from 1 Peter 2, you know, chapter 2 there, you know, that through these promises is manifested, his power in us. You know, that's what produces the results in us. So our faith is nothing else than believing the promises, believing the word. Mm-hmm. And by that positive and negative, okay, if the word says, you know, if you do this, it's going to be problems, you know, you expect problems, so you don't do that. That, you see, our behavior correspond to our belief. Mm-hmm. If we don't believe, see, sin comes from unbelief. If you don't believe that, doing something produces, negative, results according to the law, we are going to do that, and we are going to have problem because we don't believe God, and we believe it actually doesn't matter. That works anyway. Okay, that works all the time.
When you talk about sin, you're talking about actions of the flesh.
Well, I'm talking about anything that God says not to do.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's written in the scriptures. If it's not written in the scriptures, then it's really not a sin. Like if you have to take kinds of medication because your doctor says so, that's not a sin.
No, why should be sin?
Why shouldn't?
No, it's not.
No.
But the idea is not that. It's trusting God, the key thing.
Right.
That we have to do. Has to do with things that are related in the Bible.
Right, exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Okay. So the idea that the heart is not a doctrine. The heart is a reality that is within ourselves. Okay. Is where we believe what God says and that brings it to pass. See, the heart is where there is a transformation from the invisible in the spiritual world to the visible in the physical world, where things that are impossible, you know, to man become possible through the word to us and to God. Okay. When the spiritual reality becomes physical reality. That's what the heart is. So really, it's not really important for us to actually define exactly what the heart is, but we have to understand the way it works.
Right, okay.
So that we can line set up with it. Okay. Faith, every time they were talking about faith, faith is of the heart.
Okay. Right.
What you believe in your heart determines what you receive from God.
Okay.
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 In your heart, we are transformed. Okay. Changed. When our heart changes, we are going to be changed. Okay. When we are the same, get the same result, is because we are not changed in that particular area. The things are related to that. Okay. So,
when you talk about change, you're talking about getting closer to the way Jesus was thinking.
Just change. I'm talking about also the physical changes that happened within us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like, for example, healing is a change that takes place, okay, as a result of a change that takes place in our heart of believing that God is going to heal us.
Okay.
There is nothing that God cannot do. So, and there is not disease that he cannot overcome. I mean, there have been situations and cases in which, you know, people without arms or legs or organs or eyes were, you know, got new arms, new legs, new eyes and stuff like that, just there. And in some cases, you know, these things, this process takes, you know, a few days or a few weeks, but just keep growing every day. You know, and this is really a manifestation that their faith kept going, okay? And, you know, the process was significant, and there was, that's the way God implemented it, because that was the power that was released, okay?
So some people don't get healed because they probably think, well, I don't deserve it.
Well, that's one of the elements, but there could be many other. Yeah. Okay, they just simply might maybe think, well, you know, God will steal everybody, but, you know, I don't have enough faith. Well, yeah. No, you just, you know, you have to work out your faith. You have to get to the place in which your faith is operational.
I have to accept myself and in front of God and says, God, here I am.
Well, you have to believe with the heart what the word says. That's the bottom line. In all the different areas, not just in one area, because the one area, you know, support the others. Okay.
Okay.
If we think that we are, you know, God doesn't want to heal us, then we are not going to get healed, for example. If you think that, you know, there are reasons why God doesn't want to heal us, then we are not going to get healed unless we find the reason and do something about those reasons. Sometimes, you know, forgiveness is a big component, you know, and God, Jesus himself said that. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's no use to pray and so on. You know, if we are out against somebody, we have to go and, either forgive the person or go and deal with the situation before they're going to get anything with God.
Right. Okay.
So there are, you know, it's not just the automatic thing, it's a combined thing, and the heart actually knows much better than, and God knows everything. So we can fool him, okay? But at the same time, okay, we had to really start to depend on the word. See, the scripture read before, you know, that the desire, the does not materialize, you know, makes they are sick. The following verse, Proverbs 13:13, says, he who despises the word will be destroyed. But he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. So you see, the person that despises means, you know, to hold insignificant, it doesn't make any difference, okay, what the word says, is going to be destroyed. But the one that do what the word says to do, you know, is going to be rewarded. And this is really nothing else than the person that does what God says, that believes in what God says, is going to get the results that he gets. Okay. But the fact is, you know, no matter what, you know, our heart resists change because we sometimes just don't like to change because our ego has come in the way. Okay. And so, you know, that's why, you know, sometimes people get saved just when they get at the end of the rope. When they're desperate, then they open up and they say yes to God and they submit to him and they come to true repentance. Lots of people that have been coming Christian, they call themselves Christian, but they haven't got to that point. So there is really not the initial commitment that is required. Okay. So, essentially, the bottom line that we have to make a decision if we want to see the manifestation of God's power and we want to have the faith to operate. We must realize, you know, that the world doesn't have it. The world is sick, you know, and produces only frustration, disappointment. If we stay with the status quo, okay, we must return to the word and the instruction that are in the word.
Would you think that most people, the world is sick because most people nowadays are so busy they don't have time to go to the word and it's not that important to them? Could that
no, be? No, just they just don't care. They don't have any they don't have information. They don't care. They do it. They, including Christians, they do it according to the carnal mind instead of doing according to the spirit. They don't know how to, you know, reach out and change their heart. They don't allow the word of God to change the way they think because they're comfortable in their zone, the comfort zone.
Okay.
Okay, maybe that's a good point to start, to stop. So we have to make a decision. That's what I'm saying. And the decision is that, you know, what, for example, Paul said, the word of God is the basis and the things that we go by. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Says there, for I determined, Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the position that we had to take. Now, I remember when I got saved at the beginning, nobody told me anything. I mean, because I got saved by myself. And I determined that you know, all my knowledge, all my scientific knowledge, all my information that I had, you know, I couldn't base myself on it anymore. I had to base myself on the word. And I put everything on a shelf. I couldn't understand things. And so I had to start going to the word and get the reasoning that the word had rather than my own reasoning, my own philosophies, my own ideas. And that was a clear decision that they made. And for many years, I refused to think logically. I just did things according to the word. Until my logic start to, you know, my experience start to be such that I start making sense, even logically. And then I could pick up my logic again and start using it, you know, for understanding things, for putting things together, for, you know, be able to follow, you know, a more, in a more conscious way, what the Holy Spirit says to His Word. I'm going to expand on that next week. All right. I think we said quite a few things tonight. Now, I want to stress things. You know, probably the heart is one of the topics that is less understood in these days. And this is why, you know, there is so much confusion and there is so much legalism or lack of results in the life of people. And, you know, generally what happens, instead of talking about the change of heart, they use psychological method to make people change behavior. And this is behavior modification. That's the same as, you know, Christian psychology is not the way Paul did it. The way Paul did it is the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word working in people's life. This is really clear in the scripture I just finished reading. And unless we go back there, we cannot walk in the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit, and then, you know, we are going to be sons of God. This is where the people that walk in the Spirit are going to be from the sons of God. That means they're going to start operating the way Jesus operated. And with that, now, what I'm going to do in this series, that essentially, you know, we are moving into, is actually to see how we do that practically, what we had to do, you know, so to be able to do things, the process that we had to go through to implement this change of the way we function from our intellect to our heart, and how we have to readjust, change our heart, okay, so that it lines up with the Word. Essentially, you know, if you read Psalm 1, says it, but that's is much more than that, to understand, to apply it, and so on. Okay. Any questions?
Yes, I had a question, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Earlier, you mentioned what faith in the heart is not. And you mentioned three things, circumstantial theology,
yeah,
mental assent,
yeah,
and mysticism. So yeah, how do you define mysticism? Like, can you give some examples of what you mean by mysticism? Or
yeah, well, mysticism is trying to get God to do things through the things you do. Okay.
Okay.
It's kind of the same as, ritual, if you want. Okay. Or, essentially, mysticism, you manipulate God. You try to manipulate God, you know, to do things.
Okay. Thank you.
The problem is that there is a fine line between, is mysticism and what is you really do when you come in contact with God. So, you know, it's really, it's a question of growing in our heart to be able to really see the difference.
Because I've heard some people say things like, you know, if you expect supernatural miracles from God, that's mysticism. Well, he is a supernatural God. You should expect miracles.
That's right. That's, you know, you see, it's, you know, making things in such a way that, you know, you are trying to force the situation according to your way. So, you know, you can do physical things. Like for example, mystics can flagellate themselves to get you know some supernatural experiences. Okay, or they can meditate on things that are not scriptural. Okay, like for example, people get the you know wounds on the palm of the hand, you know, the stigmata, you know, by meditating on suffering of Christ, which that's completely mystic and that's not Christianity and is not what God wants. Many of the theology, wrong theology in the Catholic Church comes from the Catholic mystics. Okay.
Something called Gnosticism, which I guess...
Oh, that's that different. Like That's the knowledge or something. Yeah, that's based on knowledge and so on. So that's different. Okay, the problem with the mysticism. Okay, is if you see some of the documentation of the modern prophetic movement. Okay, and see the references. They're mostly to Catholic mystics, which shows that they're completely off. Because the things from which they start is wrong, is not the word. They justify all the current that actually is actually, you know, is really abandoning Christianity. That's a strong statement, but that's, you know, just see if, see some of their books. They talk about Teresa of Avila. They talk about John on the Cross. They talk about these are monks on the 1700 and 1600 and so on. You know, they wrote books, and these books are not Christianity, are mysticism. And they use them as example how to operate in the spirit.
Thank you.
Pastor.
Yeah.
I think some of this I've been kind of, I think, exposed to without wanting to get too much into it, but have heard in some ways, and then trying to understand in the way of where the spirit is, the Holy Spirit really is so beyond a natural, normal experience too, to keep getting this straight, where that's out of some things that have been really, but I know that there's a place with God that I'm really like, even to understand what then Paul was talking about, like he's bearing sufferings of Christ and on his body there's marks. Like,
I know, no, that's completely wrong.
Paul, what is he saying when he's saying that then?
He's not bearing the marks of Christ. That takes a long time to explain.
Okay, sir. Okay.
But no, that's okay. But there are some scripture, you know, that it says we are suffering, you know, we are sharing in the suffering of Christ. He's not talking that we are, you know, Jesus suffered, you know, what did he suffer? We are sharing on the cross that he went through. You're sharing these things. That's completely heresy. We cannot.
Yeah, I get to it.
He did everything for everybody. What would you think that you are? I mean, I'm talking to you. The person that says that, who they think they are, that they are taking the, you know, they're completely, you know, they are just human being. Sharing the suffering of Christ is the rejection that he got from people.
Okay, so that would even be when Paul said, because he was beaten. He was beaten.
That's like, right. But wasn't doing the job that Jesus did on the cross. Okay. He was.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, he's not doing that. No, I get that. But some of this has been, but I know that there's a place where with the Holy Spirit, it is a supernatural experience, but it's more and more like experiencing the love of God, like in the depths, like a nurturing, loving, transforming.
Or
that yes. Where I know that is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But trying to make sense of some of this stuff, I have just trying to reckon with it. Like, what does that mean even to let it go then? Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Good. Good.
Maurizio, mm-hmm. I have an art encyclopedia from the 1800s, you know, theological.
In the past, they didn't understand these things. So it's no use to go there because they were completely confused.
No, this is not. This is an academic article explaining.
See, academic doesn't work. These people that are academic are mental.
This article is critical of it, but I wanted to share it.
Okay.
Because, okay, it's good.
Who's the author?
Well, it's McClintock and Strong were the editors. It's a 12-volume encyclopedia.
Yeah, okay.
But it says, mysticism, according to the strict meaning of the word, signifies a special knowledge and understanding of the mysteries from which the uninitiated are excluded. Mysticism, says Cousin, is the belief that God may be known face to face without anything intermediate. It is a yielding to the sentiment awakened by the idea of the infinite and a summing up of all knowledge and all duty in the contemplation and love of Him. Mysticism, therefore, properly defined, is the science of the supernatural state of the human and manifested in the body and in order of visible things be equally supernatural effects.
So what the conclusion of all that? Nothing.
Well,
no, because doesn't deal
with the problem. Mysticism, it says, leads to pantheism.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, the thing is that they would also, you know, eliminate the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit on that basis. Because they didn't know. You see, that's why I'm saying they weren't ready to be able to talk about these things properly. That definition is wrong because doesn't deal with the reality of our spiritual experience.
No, Maurizio, I can't. It's a one-page article.
Yeah, I know, but doesn't matter.
I just read the first part.
The thing is, they were confused. There is not much in literature that explains the difference. You cannot go by stuff of the past because these areas are, you know, are the understanding of these things are more recent.
This is traditional mysticism. Traditional.
It doesn't make any difference. Mysticism hasn't changed. The idea of mysticism is mysticism. And we have something that may appear to be mysticism when we are operating in the spirit. But it's not. So there is a fake and there is the real.
Yeah, that's the,
Yeah, but that's the thing, that these people would see somebody that is baptism of the Holy Spirit and say, this is mystic, and it's wrong.
Why do they say that? Why do they call that mysticism? Because it's supernatural.
They do it today, the same people that read those
things. I know, but they didn't talk about it in those days, but is that because it's supernatural and anything
is
mystical?
That's right.
Well, that's an improper definition of mysticism.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Ted was right. It's the whole Christian faith is supernatural.
Absolutely. But it's not mystical.
Yes.
See, mystic, what they missed, okay, is supernatural controlled by people. When is God the one could control our spiritual experiences.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
You cannot impose on God spiritual to get spiritual experiences. Yeah. That's the basis. They didn't talk about that, but that's the key of the difference. God has blocked man from being able to receive things, you know, at the beginning, but he opens it up through the Holy Spirit and through his ways. So we have to go through his way according to when he does it. We cannot force God to give spiritual experiences to them because we open ourselves up to mysticism, which is demonic.
Yeah, because we do whatever we do, but God does whatever he wants to do. We just obey him and he will do. We can't force his hand. Eh? If I do this, if I pray for 12 hours and speak in tongues for 5 hours, I'm going to get a breakthrough. Or
well, you can do that to get closer to God or whatever. But the point is, you know, the thing is, you are not forcing for spiritual experience. You do your part, you do the things, but there's a completely different. You are open to his direction, not he is the one communicating to you. You are not the one initiating the thing.
Yeah. You know, the guy, he was a Catholic, Merton, Thomas Merton.
Well, the guy is completely, you know, I mean, he was a Buddhist at the end.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I in my spirit, when I read this, and then he said, you're right, Peter, the professor told me before he died, he became a Buddhist. Yeah, Buddhist.
That's right. So you see, that's a problem today. If you see the references, they see the way they learn from, you know, all the prophetic movement is based on these people. They refer specifically to you know, the one I said, you know, John on the Cross, they wrote on the Cloud of the Unknown, and the other one, you know, Teresa of Avila, they wrote some other books. I mean, these were mystic, you know, Catholic mystics.
Yeah.
You can go by them. They're not even born again. They got lots of crazy ideas. I mean, how do you think that the rosary came about? A mystic got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the idea is that we have to you know, see the difference, but sometimes it's not something that is a mental recognition. We want us to really get. Actually, I've been looking at material to that. There is nothing around that is really very clearly explained. In fact, a few years ago, I was talking to, you know, another Gordon Williams. I don't know if you remember him, but
yes.
I was talking with him and I was explaining something. He said, "Oh, you told me that I had to write a book on it." Well, I didn't have the time to on that, but you know, he was really interested in seeing what I would say on that because he agreed with me.
Yeah. There's also the current, maybe it uses the mystical stuff too, you know, like the spiritual disciplines. I think they the mystics in that.
Faust or something like that. Spiritual discipline, yeah. It's the same thing that actually you know, there is a group in the Catholic Church that uses that. Anyway, yeah.
And anyway. Madame Guillon went, like, she had a big love for God, but she got into some weird stuff. She married Jesus and wrote it in her blood, and she got the divine torrents, like something came upon her, and she wrote a book called Divine Torrents, and it was just something, it's like bordering on madness.
This is mysticism.
She was mystical.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, the thing is the difference with the baptism of the Holy Spirit that came in 1900, that became clear, the difference. Up to that time, there was no way to see who was what.
Are you saying like Azusa Street, and in that period, then it came out as a separate and good thing?
That's right.
It was always there in Scripture. And
and some people may have it experienced too. But the thing is, you know, sometimes they will get off a tangent because this is the way it works. Okay, start having experiences and then you get more involved. I mean, John of Arc, the same thing.
Yeah. And also in meditation, Christian meditation is Bible-based. But if you get in the Catholic tradition, meditation can go, and others can go to really weird stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like even the idea to empty your mind, you know, well, what's going to come in, you know?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. But this is why, you know, when it comes to meditation, one has to understand how to do it properly and not to fall into these mistakes. Because, you know, meditation is nothing else than a tool.
Yeah.
But it's a powerful tool. And it's used in all religions.
Yeah.
Okay? So everybody gets some things, but you have to see if you're connecting with the right source.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I like the safety in the meditation is meditate on scripture, nothing else. Not on it.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? That's a safe.
Yeah, but you know, there are some understanding, some guidelines, and for example, you can meditate on the name of God. You can meditate on other things like that.
That would be his character, right? And
yeah,
stuff.
Like that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Not anything. I'm going to explore God and see God. That's not
no,
the
no. You just think. I mean, things can come to you, but it's not that you are trying to penetrate things. You just try to really see and understand better and be open to that reality. You know, the way it applies to you.
What about imagination? Like some methods, they say, now let's picture yourself, you know, you're a troubled person, and imagine yourself beside a beautiful stream and Jesus is there. And then they say, well, Jesus can really start to, is that, it sounds weird to me.
Well, it sounds weird to me too. It depends on the way it's done. I mean, you know, the fact that Jesus is there everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, there is nothing wrong with, you know, closing your eye and you know, feel the presence of God.
Yes.
Okay? That's definitely okay, because God is there.
Okay? Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is there. So,
yeah.
you just can be open to the Holy Spirit. You know, and if, for example, you take a scripture and you don't understand it, you just, can ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. And
yes.
But you're not there forcing the thing.
Yeah. And this, by the same count, that means you can imagine Jesus being there or whatever, but he will only be there if he wants to show up in that way. You can't make Jesus be, you know, come alive, like not, I'm not imagining Jesus and now he's starting to, if he wants to, he can do that, but you can't make it happen, right?
Well, otherwise you made it happen, that's you doing, not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Pastor, I'm so sorry, just not to drag this on, but just to clarify a bit where I'm at, like where you know Christ is in you and the Holy Spirit, and you're taking a part of scripture, something true to him, like you're not forcing him to come, but you know he's right there.
Mm-hmm.
In that way to connect and trusting him to, and along with his character and some scripture, and you're not trying, but to,
yeah.
In that way, kind of, but not in like your own whole thing, but knowing what's more real than you might in that way. That is good, right? Because that's where
the fact is real. There, he's with us. You know, I mean, is that's the truth. So you know, you're not trying to make things out about. You know, and just I think imagination. You know, he may give some images. I mean, if he gives you a vision.
Right, that's kind
okay.
of what.
But yeah, if you build up the vision yourself, and then you start developing, that's a different story.
Okay, that's really, really helping, and I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. So it's time to close. 9:08. Wow. Good. Okay, let's close in prayer. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, that it's so important for us to understand the heart, because this is where things happen. And we want our heart to be transformed by Lord the Word, so that we may just get the mind of Christ more and more in all the areas, Lord, that you have opened to us. And we are obedient to you, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that we know that you send the Holy Spirit just for that purpose, Lord, that we may just simply realize that's the truth. And Lord, the only thing we have to do is to listen and be open and trust in you and allow you to guide us. You said, my sheep know my voice. Also, we just believe that we should be able to recognize you, Lord, recognize that when it's our mind, when it's other things speaking, or when it's you speaking to us. And we just praise and thank you, Lord, because we know that this is the desire you have. That's the only way we can grow, because it's the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth, Lord, and the truth itself, Lord. The truth is what stays. The truth is what doesn't change, and the truth is what set us free. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, because you clearly promised it to us, and the Lord, we can trust that, Lord, you are going to guide this way. You're going to show it to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Thank you, Maurizio.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor.
Night, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.